Are the same people always volunteering and doing the work at your co-op? Are you struggling to get moms to pitch in because, quote unquote, it's not my season? Does your co-op seem to be full of takers rather than givers? What if I told you it is actually possible for parents to be eager to help? In this episode, we are addressing another great question from one of our listeners. Thank you for posting in the Facebook page. We love hearing from you guys. This is an age-old question. How do I get enough people to help when the workload for the leadership seems overwhelming? There is an answer to your problem. It begins with you as a leader getting outside your comfort zone first, and in turn, encouraging your families to do so also. Keep listening, and we will help you overcome this challenge. Welcome to Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Do you desire a Christian community with families that fit? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling conflict resolution and how to build a community? Do you dream of a sustainable homeschool group only to feel discouraged when policies fail, logistics get in the way, or a conflict comes up again?
Hello. We are the Homeschool Community Builders. Together, we have more than 30 years of experience in leading successful homeschool groups. But at one time, we too were in co-ops that did not work for our families. We needed deep relationships and a community that would help our families grow in faith. In order to be a part of a sustainable Christian community, we stepped out in faith and trusted God's plan to build the community that we desired.
In this podcast, we will help you create Christ-centered policies, establish a close-knit culture, and develop strong leadership skills so that you can serve your community well. So grab a pen and paper, be ready to take some notes, and be encouraged. You can do this.
Hi, friends. It is so great to be hearing from so many of you on our Facebook page. Come and join us at Lead Your Homeschool Co-op and post your questions, your struggles, and your wins. We want to hear about how you're doing. Also, if you like freebies, you can become a Lead Your Homeschool Co-op insider. And then you get first dibs on valuable resources to help you lead, organize, and connect with your community. Just click on the link in the show notes and join us. Today, we want to talk about what you can do when it seems like leadership is always doing the work. And if it's not leadership, then it's the 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, as that statistic goes, and it's exhausting. And it's frankly not sustainable. What can we do to change this environment? Pam mentioned that leadership or the board needs to get out of your comfort zone first. And oftentimes, our comfort zone is to do everything because we're leaders and we're capable and we want to just do it. But in order to really solve this problem, you have to start with one of the three C's that we are going to tell you today, and that is your culture. And it's not a culture of the leadership doing everything, it's a culture of participation. Pam, can you kind of talk about what does this mean? What is a culture of participation as opposed to a culture of dictators?
No, spectating. It's not
spectators. Yeah.
It's not a spectator sport. Community is not a spectator sport, people. Okay. So what we're talking about is creating a culture of participation. The way that you create a culture is by requiring an investment of people's time and gifts. If you don't require it from the beginning, people will just naturally not do it. At our co-op, we require all of our teachers to teach something. Everybody teaches something. And on top of that, we also assist in another class. They don't come to our co-op unless they're willing to teach something because it's mm-hmm. just required at our co-op. But what that does is it gives them an investment into the co-op. They know that somebody else is investing too into their kids and their family just as much. So we're all working hard for one another. It's human nature is the easiest path to take available. And most people will allow somebody else to do the hard thing if given the option. That's just how human nature works. So you got to set the expectation and equip the parents. You got to train them and make sure that they know what the expectation is and how to make that happen. But it also needs to be a requirement.
In our community, we don't require parents to teach, but they still have to be a part of community day. So whether that means they're mentoring or teaching a class, or they're helping in the class, they are there, they are present, and they're active. One of the challenges that we hear is, I don't have margin, or I don't have time. Well, okay, we don't necessarily want to force people into stretching themselves so thin that they leave the community. So how can we work within the margin that they do have? If you can't commit to teaching, like at our co-op where you are not required, can you sub? Can you be on a committee? There is some flexibility there, but the requirement is that you have to make an investment at some level, not just be a taker, because it truly does take a village to make the community work.
And part of that requirement, which is the piece where, you know, the board has to get out of their own comfort zone, is asking people and being willing to look for or to put a need out there and ask people to fill it. And so it's not just doing everything, but being vulnerable as a board and saying, okay, we have these needs that if they're not filled, we can't do it. And so it's not going to happen. And you have to be willing to let things go if somebody else can't step up to do it.
We've had to take classes off of our schedule because we did not have a mentor to teach the class. Mm-hmm. And I'm of the opinion that that's okay, because if someone wasn't willing to step up, then it wasn't in God's will. And that's all right.
So that's the first point, is culture. Start with a culture of participation. The second point is, we label this as capture or captivate, which means you want to capture your families and find out what their gifts, talents, and desires are in your community. What do they have to offer? Because everybody has something to offer. So when they come to join your community, find out, capture their gifts, find out what they love, and allow them to work within that gifting.
That's one thing that we do whenever we give an informational meeting. And then the next step, we do a teacher Q&A. And we ask, what are your gifts and talents? If they know what their spiritual gifts are, we take that down. What expectations do they have of our program? What are things that they want to see taught here? What's something that they're actually interested in that they might want to teach? I taught Spanish because I wanted to learn Spanish. I'm not a Spanish speaker, and I hadn't taken Spanish, my poor students, but I only had to be one step ahead of them, and we did muy bueno. Okay. We did fine. But everybody brings something with them when they come. Whether it's experiences or skills or talents or a passion that they have. And who better to teach something than somebody that is really passionate about it? And it will increase the experience on the teacher's end, but also the student's experience. So discover what those talents and passions are and assign them to your parents and teachers.
And I think this can bring a lot of variety and excitement when you have someone who has a knowledge base that they want to share. Well, then that translates to the classroom as well. And what a great experience to have someone who has passion and excitement to then share that with our students.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It makes such a difference for the students to be taught by someone who loves that. It makes it so much more fun for them. And then you're not having teachers in the classroom or mentors in the classroom who are just there filling a job, keeping as a warm body, you know, kind of going through the book, sounding like wah, 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 right?
Yeah, I don't want that teacher.
No. Who wants that teacher?
Well, and it's given us an opportunity at our community to have classes that we otherwise wouldn't have thought to offer, which, how awesome. It just broadens the horizons, which is exciting.
I think it opens up the possibility of having dads be involved more as well, because you can bring their skills in. And that has been a great addition to our co-op, because I know it's a lot of times it's hard to get dads in their teaching. But if they're in there teaching something that they love, they don't care if they're getting paid. You know, they don't care if it takes time out of their day. They love it and they want to share it. And that's a great way to get them involved.
Yeah. But you know what I hate about
that? And the kids really like that.
Yeah. Is that the dads come in and then the dads are always the favorite.
Of course.
They always love the dad. Because the dad came in and taught him how to change a tire or entrepreneurship or whatever. I'm not bitter. I'm not really. Dads are all these.
It's okay. It's okay. I know, but it is, what a gift, right? Okay. So we have culture, we have capture. And then the third thing is to cultivate with your moms. Oftentimes, we need to cultivate their gifts. We have to help them see what they are great at or gifted at, build their confidence, overcome their fears, and help them step into that role that's really going to be a blessing to the community. That's part of being a good leader, because you are casting this vision. You are helping them to see how they can be a part of this community and add to it, because every part is just brings so much beauty, I think.
I would agree. And I would say someone who has not taught will not be able to know firsthand the benefits of stepping into that role. And so we have to share with them, look, here's the good things that can come with this investment. And then trust me, just trust me on this. You will come to appreciate it. And every time they do, they just have to step out in faith and go with it first. And then they will see all the good that can come from stepping into the leadership in that particular way.
I think so often young moms especially lack the confidence to get into the classroom and to lead and think that they can teach. And I can think of examples in our community where these young moms kind of took that deep breath and they're like, okay, I'll do it. And they were so unsure. And then they get in the classroom and they really, really love it. And the kids love them. And they're building these relationships with the kids and with the other families. And then they're anxious to do it the next time. They want to do it the next time.
Well, and you may have to hold their hand a little bit or guide them a little bit more in the beginning. And that's okay. That's part of training and equipping, which is a very important step in capturing these people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't want to just hook them in and then, okay, figure it out. You're off on your own. No, you're coming alongside and encouraging them and they're remembering that they have so much good that God has given them. And we just help bring that out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oftentimes they think that they chose that to be in their co-op, but God is actually choosing them to be there because he has a job and he wants to use them in their gifts and talents. And this is totally my story from the very beginning. The first time I ever participated in a co-op, I literally, when I was sitting in the informational meeting, was shaking and in tears because I was terrified to go to be a part of a co-op. I was terrified that, one, everybody was going to find out that I was a terrible homeschooler. Two, I was going to go mad mom on somebody's kids, and it was just going to be awful. And I went there, and you know, you have your registration and they say, what do you want to teach? And I'm like, nothing. Like, I don't want to be in front of class. But of course I was forced to do it because the co-op had a culture of participation. I couldn't just show up and not do something. So I said yes. I didn't know what I was going to like. I ended up loving it because I loved the participation of the kids. They were excited to be there. They wanted to participate. I was excited because I got to learn too. And every single step of my way, I had to overcome these fears. And now look at me. I'm doing a podcast.
Now you're in leadership.
I'm in leadership. And I was in leadership then as well. I was leading homeschool moms in a support group at that time. But I was terrified to be in front of other kids in a co-op. So I needed that development as well. I needed people to believe in me and have confidence in me and to trust me and throw me in the deep end so that I could overcome these fears and be able to participate and grow. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And you, here's the other thing is you should think about your co-op as a family. You wouldn't let your family not participate in the chores and stuff around your house, right? Like you wouldn't just be like, oh, that's okay. You don't feel like doing this. That's fine. You don't have to do that because you feel uncomfortable doing that. No, you get in there and you clean the toilet and you be a part of the family just like everybody else. That's you right. know, you'd have a choice not to do it if you wanted to, but you don't have a choice because we're going to create the culture of participation. Mm-hmm. We're going to capture and captivate, find out your gifts, and then we're going to develop them in it and cultivate it in everybody because God didn't just bring one or two people there to do it all. He brought everybody yeah. there with all of their gifts and talents to be a part of your amazing community. And if you don't take advantage of that, then you're basically saying that you have a better plan than God does. He brought these people. He gave them to you as a gift. Now use them and inspire them and build them up because that's what our job as leaders is to do.
It is. And I would mm-hmm. also say that if you have a long-term vision for your community, you are going to have to bring other people into leadership and you are going to have to cultivate that within your community mm-hmm. to have other people invest. It can't just be a few because that is not sustainable.
Yeah. You One need of the more. Things that I was just thinking of was for those younger or newbie moms coming in, it's great to pair them with somebody who's more experienced and mm-hmm. team teach. That's something that we do quite a bit. And people then get their feet wet. They're not doing it all on their own. And they're learning from somebody who's gone before. And so it's part of this cultivation process. Let's bring them along a little at a time. Everybody gets to get out of their comfort zone and build that confidence.
The confidence is key. Because mm-hmm. people have such gifts and talents and they have incredible, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to somebody in your co-op and start something cool, a worship team, a leadership, this, or who knows what it is, but the Holy Spirit will come and they need to have the confidence that if they go, hey, I have this vision, this idea that your leadership is going to go, yes, and do that mm-hmm. because we want to be on this thing and participate with God just as much as you do. So let's make this thing happen. So that developing that confidence in them and that trust within your community and between leadership is so important.
That's good encouragement. So our Bible verse for today is Hebrews 5:11-13. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. So we've shared some ideas and we would love to hear the ideas that you have. Let's keep the conversation going. And so join us over at our Facebook group, Lead Your Homeschool Co-op, and we'd love to hear from you over there.
Hey friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with someone who may benefit from it? Or leave us a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts. It blesses our socks off to know how this podcast is helping you. Also, make sure to connect with us on the Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you back here next time.